take your Bible and turn to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 4, verses 13 through 22. Please stand with me as we give honor to the reading of God's word. Acts chapter 4, verses 13 through 22. Remember, God's word is holy, infallible, inerrant, and authoritative. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled. And they realized that they had been with Jesus. And seeing the man who had been healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, "What shall we do to this man? For indeed, that a notable miracle has been done through them is evident to all who dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But so that it spreads no further among the people, let us severely threaten them, that from now on they speak to no man in this name." So they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said to them, "Whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, you judge. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard." So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding no way of punishing them because of the people, since they all glorified God for what had been done. For the man was over 40 years old on whom this miracle of healing had been performed. May the Lord bless the reading of his own word. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Please be seated. And let us pray. Our mighty God, you are mighty in word and deeds. Lord, we know that your word is powerful. When your word goes out, it does not return void. Surely it will accomplish its purpose. So, Father, even now, we pray, as your word goes out, as we hear your word, may it accomplish its purpose. May your word transform us, Lord. May your word humble us. May your word convict us of our sins. And may Christ save us. We pray for the help of the Holy Spirit to give us understanding. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God's people cannot and must not be silenced. In this world, there will be tribulation, Jesus said. There will be opposition, persecution, arrest, imprisonment. Because the world hates Christ. The world wants you to join them. If you don't, they will come after you. We are in the world, but not of the world. The world acts in contrary to the scriptures. Yet God's people cannot and must not be silenced. And this we can learn from Peter and John in this particular passage. So we're going to examine this passage under four headings. Number one, boldness. Verse 13, boldness. Number two, charge. Charge. Verse 14 through 16. Verse 14 through 16. Third, threat. Threat. Verses 17 through 20. Verses 17 through 20. And fourth, release. Release. Verse 21 and 22. 21 and 22, release. Boldness, charge, threat, release. So let us begin by examining the first point, the first heading, boldness. Before we proceed, let us review the context. Remember, Peter and John went up to the temple. There they healed a lame man. After the healing of the lame man, Peter preached Christ and his resurrection. To be specific, Peter preached the name of Christ. And this provoked the priest, the captain of the temple, and the Sadducees. And so they arrested Peter and John. They were tried by the Sanhedrin. The Sanhedrin wanted to know how the healing took place. How the healing took place. By what power or name the lame man was healed. So Peter replied affirmatively, "By the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead." And moreover, Peter insisted boldly that there is salvation only in the name of Jesus and no other. So what was the reaction of the Sanhedrin? According to verse 13, they marveled. They marveled. They were astonished. They were astonished by their courage, their boldness. So why were they astonished by their boldness? Because the Sanhedrin perceived, they thought Peter and John to be uneducated and untrained, as we see in verse 13. They thought Peter and John were illiterate. They never learned how to write or read. And they had no formal education. And they were unskilled people. And they perceived that they did not have a high level of religious education as them. And of course, Peter and John were, once upon a time, fishermen. Yet the members of the Sanhedrin were impressed with their boldness. Peter spoke Christ and his resurrection articulately. So they marveled. They were astonished. In addition, the Sanhedrin came to realize that Peter and John had been with Jesus. They were disciples of Jesus whom the Sanhedrin performed trial several weeks ago. They were under the best of all teachers in the universe. Peter and John experienced intensive discipleship under Jesus for 3 years. And the Spirit of Christ made Peter and John bold, courageous. The members of the Sanhedrin were greatly impressed by their boldness. No doubt. Peter and John were confident in the truths concerning Jesus. And therefore they proclaimed with great convictions and boldness. Clearly, Peter and John did not depend on their intellectual ability or speaking skills. Because we know they were fishermen. but they trusted God. They were empowered by the Holy Spirit. Well, we all must be like Peter and John. We must learn to imitate Peter and John. To be bold, to be courageous in proclaiming Christ. We need to be bold in proclaiming that salvation is only found in Jesus. Can we do that? I'm sure most of you know Martin Luther, the 16th century reformer. On October 31st, 1517, Martin Luther boldly nailed his 95 theses to the castle church door in Wittenberg, Germany. This thesis explained that salvation was only found in Christ and refuted the Roman Catholic doctrines. The Pope ordered Luther to stop preaching against the Roman Catholic Church and to retract what he had been saying and writing. But Luther was bold enough to reply that he would not comply with the Pope's order. Later, he was summoned to appear before a grand assembly for trial in Diet of Worms on April 18, 1521. The assembly consisted of Archbishop of Treves, Emperor Charles V, other prominent princes and rulers. At that assembly, Luther was repeatedly asked to recant his writings and teachings against the Roman Catholic Church. But Luther boldly replied in this manner, quote, "Unless I'm convinced by testimonies of the scriptures or by clear arguments that I am in error, for popes and councils have often erred and contradicted themselves, I cannot withdraw, for I am subject to the word of God. It is unsafe and dangerous to do anything against one's conscience." Unquote. Luther concluded with these famous words, quote, "Here I stand. I cannot do otherwise. God help me. Amen." Did you notice the boldness of Martin Luther? How he stood for the conviction of the truths of the Bible? He was not afraid. He was courageous and bold. We need to be courageous and bold like Peter and John and Martin Luther. Martin Luther was bold in his convictions. He refused to recant. Even after 5 centuries later, we speak about his boldness in standing for the truth. Even now, I'm speaking about his boldness. So God's people cannot and must not be silenced. They must proclaim the gospel truth boldly. We saw in Peter and John. We saw in Martin Luther, the reformer. There were still many others who stood boldly for the gospel truths in the past. And today we still can find some faithful ones who boldly proclaim the truths. Let us not forget that there may be consequences for standing for the truths. Isn't it the goal of the enemies of Christ to oppress Christians? Though the Sanhedrin marveled at the boldness of Peter and John, they wanted to find some ways to charge and punish them. And so we come to the second heading, charge, verses 14 through 16. Apparently, a miraculous healing took place on a man who was lame for 40 years and begging for alms at the gate of the temple. The man had never experienced standing on his both feet before. But now he was standing on his feet before the Sanhedrin. And that itself was a great witness of the miracle of the healing. And remember, during the trial of Peter and John, the Sanhedrin posed this question to Peter and John. By what power or by what name have you done this? And they replied, by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead. The lame man was healed by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. The members of the Sanhedrin could say nothing against the miracle. In fact, they were tongue-tied. Now the Sanhedrin commanded Peter and John to step aside from the council. The members of the Sanhedrin had a closed-door meeting. That's what we see in this verse. They discussed among themselves. And the question was this: what to do with Peter and John? And the answer was simple. Nothing could be done with Peter and John. They could not bring any charge against them nor punish them. They deserve no punishment because they have done no crime. Peter and John, in fact, performed a notable miracle. It was seen by many people who were present at the temple in Jerusalem. The evidence was very clear. No one could suppress or deny the evidence. But then let us not be distracted. Let us not forget for what purpose Peter and John were arrested. For what purpose were they arrested? They were arrested for, not for performing the miracle. They were arrested for preaching Christ and his resurrection. See, they were not arrested for healing that lame man, no. They were arrested for preaching Christ and his resurrection. And they could not find any other reason by which they could charge them. See, the enemies of the gospel will not stop intimidating Christians. They may turn the law against Christians, even today. Are you ready to face intimidation? Are you ready? Be prepared to face all kinds of intimidation because you all are Christians. What else could the enemies of God's people do? So we come to the third heading, threat. Verses 17 through 20, threat. Let us not forget, Peter preached Christ and his resurrection, right? How many were saved? 5,000 men were saved. And therefore, this raised a great concern to the Sanhedrin. Look at verse 17. But so that it spreads no further among the people, let us severely threaten them, that from now on they speak to no man in the name. So it is clear, the main issue or concern was the spreading of the gospel. They did not want the name of Jesus to spread among the people. So the council decided to threaten Peter and John not to speak about Jesus. So they came out with the action item. They could not charge Peter and John with any crime. So now they are only left with the weapon of threatening. So the Sanhedrin called in Peter and John. They commanded them not to teach in the name of Jesus. Okay, not to teach them, not to teach in the name of Jesus, and not to speak at all in the name of Jesus. Could you imagine what they commanded them not to do? In other words, the Sanhedrin told them, stop mentioning the name of Jesus to others. Stop preaching Christ and his resurrection. Naturally, the disciples were not happy with the orders. And you may encounter these kind of awkward situations whereby you may be commanded not to talk about Jesus in your school or office. How will you react? How will you react? Let us learn from Peter and John. Look at verse 19. But Peter and John answered and said to them, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, you judge. Whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, you examine, you decide. So in other words, they were saying, according to God, what do you think is right? To listen to you more than God? See, they did not ask, according to God, what do you think is right? Listen to God or listen to man? No. Should we listen to you more than God? That was a question, very simple question, because they knew that the Sanhedrin had authority and they needed to respect. They knew that. But they also knew that it was very clear to them that listening to man more than God was not right. And often we get into this trap, right? The implication in their reply to the Sanhedrin is this. We must listen to God than man. We must only obey God rather than man. Peter and John boldly asserted that they must proclaim all things they had seen and heard concerning Jesus. Look at verse 20. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. Peter and John saw many signs performed by Jesus and heard the first-hand teachings from the lips of Jesus day and night for 3 years. In other words, they implied that they would preach Christ and his resurrection. They would proclaim all the things that they saw and heard from Jesus. And nothing could stop them. They cannot and must not be silenced. That's what they asserted. So in verse 19, they said, we cannot but speak. We cannot but speak. We must preach Christ. As simple as that. Again, some of you might know John Bunyan, a 17th century Puritan. In 1660, one day, while preaching in a farmhouse at Lower Samsel, Bunyan was arrested. He was arrested while he was preaching. And he was arrested because he was preaching without official permission from the king. He was told that he would be released if he would stop preaching. You know what he said? He simply replied, If I'm freed today, I will preach tomorrow. If I'm freed today, I will preach tomorrow. In other words, he would not stop preaching. God's people would not be silenced. Bunyan was imprisoned for about 13 years. There was no formal charge or sentence. He was imprisoned because he refused to stop preaching. He was imprisoned because he refused to stop preaching Christ and his resurrection. So my friends, don't be afraid of threats. Peter and John were not afraid of threats. They continued to proclaim Jesus. John Bunyan was not afraid of threats or even imprisonment. He continued to proclaim Jesus. Remember what Jesus taught his disciples. Mark chapter 10, verse 28. And do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Here, we hear a great exhortation from Christ. We should not fear man, for man only can kill our body, not the soul. But God has the power to destroy both our body and soul. We should fear him. So we come to the fourth heading, release. Verses 21 through 22. The Sanhedrin released Peter and John after the trial. They could not bring any charge against them. They were not guilty. Well, even without a charge, they still could have punished Peter and John because the Sanhedrin had the power. But then they could not carry out any punishment on them. Why? What was the reason? Because of the people. Look at verse 21. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding no way of punishing them because of the people. It is always the people. It is always the public opinion. Public opinion matters. What will please the people? How can we please the people? And that is the concern of all those people in authority. Today, people are afraid to say anything against abortion, same-sex marriage, and gender identity. People don't want to be opposing the general public opinions. So it is not about what the scriptures say, but what the public opinions are. And that's the current situation. So, we must listen to God rather than man. And that's what Peter and John argued. In this passage, the public was on the side of Peter and John. Surprisingly, the public glorified God for the healing of the lame man. Again, look at verse 21. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding no way of punishing them because of the people, since they all glorified God for what they had done. How could they not glorify God? Luke, the author of the book of Acts, emphasized the reason in verse 22 as why the public glorified God. Look at verse 22. For the man was over 40 years old on whom this miracle of healing had been performed. The healing was performed on a 40-year-old man. 40-year-old man. It was an amazing miracle. For 40 years, he was a cripple. He could have remained a cripple forever. For 40 years, no one healed him. And it would have been medically impossible. However, no one would have expected the healing of this particular man. It was God's timing and God's sovereign work. God used Peter and John to heal this crippled man. Hence, the public glorified God for the healing of this man. So what can the Sanhedrin do? They let them go. So in verse 21, we see that the Sanhedrin released Peter and John. Not that they could find any reason or charge to punish them, but they were afraid of the people. Before they released them, the Sanhedrin further threatened them. They could only threaten, but could not imprison them or punish them, because God protected Peter and John. So in this passage, we examine the four headings: boldness, charge, threat, release. Before we leave this text, let me say this. God's people cannot be silenced. God's people must not remain silent. You must not remain silent because you may be ridiculed, persecuted, or even punished. You are created to glorify God. You are called to be witnesses for Christ. You must proclaim the gospel of Jesus and his resurrection. You must proclaim only Jesus can save the Muslims, the Hindus, the Buddhists, and other believers and other unbelievers. And remember, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life a ransom for many. So you must be bold like Peter and John. You must not be afraid of threats. You must trust God, because God is faithful and he is in control of all things. Be bold. Be faithful to Christ. Be witnesses for Christ. God's people must not and cannot be silenced. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty God, we thank you, Lord, for this wonderful passage. Father, we heard your word, and we ask that you will enable us to live out your word. Help us to be bold. Help us not to be afraid of threats. Help us not to remain silent. Cause us to proclaim your word, Lord, the message of salvation by only Jesus. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.